Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Deeper. My name is Austin Slater. We're so glad to have you joining us today. I'm joined here in the studio today by actually both of our pastors, Pastor Tim and Pastor Dan. Thank you guys both for joining me today.
Thank you, Austin.
Yeah, thank you, Austin.
It's good to actually like have a lot of people in here. You know, normally it's just Dan and I, a third person. It changes the dynamic entirely.
Yeah.
Might need to get treats next time.
I'll bring snacks. So for those of you who aren't joining us or who are joining us for the first time, we're not necessarily always about snacks. We're about these tasty gospel tidbits though. And so we're here to just talk about scripture, usually the scripture and the sermon from the Sunday morning previous to this. And it's just a chance for us to ask questions, to go a little bit deeper than we might have gone in the actual service, and just kind of reflect on, you know, what God's love is like and what he has taught us. Tim, you gave us a wonderful sermon this last week. Would you mind like summing it up for us?
Yeah, just as we were walking through the last week of Jesus' life, we came to the Last Supper, which was well known, and just noted how Jesus really brought to the front the fact that he was about to die, in spite of the fact the disciples didn't get it. And it became pretty evident that this wasn't something that he was going to try to avoid, but this was something he was intending to do, which puts the cross front and center of the dinner table.
Right.
So speaking of snacks, we are thinking about food. And then just that, not only the intentionality, but what that tells us about the cross, that it was something that had to happen, which we didn't get into too much, but it points to the reality of our sin, that this was something that required more than just, a makeover, fixer-upper. This is something that needed rebirth and death. So, and then the challenge Jesus left us with as he confronts the disciples to do something about it. They have to actually participate and engage that.
Yeah. I think the phrasing you used was great, because you said it's not enough to know that he died on the cross, but it's something we have to personally respond to. And I think that's just a really convicting, great, we know it. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciated that.
Well, I said that to somebody else too. It was it's a sermon that has to go through your heart first as a preacher, I think, and it did for me the week before. It was very convicting. As Jesus' question really hit me, his statement that evoked the question. You know, one of you is going to betray me, and asked him, "What about me?" You know, and it forced self-reflection, and I think he does that with the cross too. Like take and eat. They are full participants.
Right.
And so, I don't know, it jumped out at me this week. That's not something just to gloss over, but.
Right. Involves involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing that did stick out to me that I was kind of curious, and this is slightly different tangent, but you were talking a lot about how, I think the phrasing you used was that we need to look at the crucifixion as not an accident of history, but an intentional plan. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we looked back on several different verses, but like, if you look back, there's so much pointing to the cross in scripture and in prophecy, mm-hmm. and the disciples should have known this,
mm-hmm.
right? Like these are people who are studied on this, most of them. And then throughout the entire Last Supper, Jesus is making these comments that like would not fly at a normal dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, my appointed time is near. One of you is going to betray me. Do this in remembrance of me. That's something that would be a conversation stopper that mm-hmm. you shouldn't be able to just move on past. And yet the disciples somehow do. It feels like, as I read it, that they kind of just gloss over that. Is that something that's potentially like the subtext? Like, and then the disciples were quiet and kind of awkward and made, until Peter said something to pick up conversation? Or is there a reason that they might not have picked up on that?
I don't know. It doesn't say that I could find in the text itself that why they didn't. There's other places in the Gospels where it is stated. Either they were afraid to ask Jesus questions, it says someplace, and other times they just didn't get it, what he was saying, the metaphors he was using. And so, Jesus sometimes understood that, and he said, I have more to say to you, but more than you can now bear at this time. And so he understood that. And other times Jesus even got frustrated and he says, are you so dull? Do you still not understand? I mean, how many loaves of bread did you pick up, right?
Right.
And I don't know. I just think how often do we read over a passage and gloss over things? And we just don't get it,
yeah.
And then only later after some life experience happens to us, we go, oh, wow, that really is there. I just never saw it. You know, I think that's human nature. Mm-hmm. We just are pretty dull. That's part of our fallenness, right? We don't understand spiritual things.
Yeah. And then that fallenness was such an important element of this whole, you know, this whole sermon you were giving, because, you know, Jesus' mission wasn't simply to free the Jews from this Roman occupation, but to free them from sin and the sin cycles and this mm-hmm. habit that we keep forming, and this that from whether it's from our dullness or, mm-hmm. you know, what have you. And actually, Dan and I were talking earlier today about how, you know, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, true generally of us as humans, but especially, you know, if we don't address our sin, if there's nothing stopping us from keeping on going back to that sin, we are doomed to repeat that. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the beautiful, profound things about this whole crucifixion story and the gospel and of Jesus' sacrifice. But I was wondering, with some relation to that, we hear all the time about these cycles of sin that the Jews fell into. And it was usually some form of idolatry, and then there would be some big catastrophe, and then there would be a prophet that would come and say, hey, let's kind of get our act together. And they'd fall back in love with God, as it were, and live a generation or two before repeating the cycle. And you mm-hmm. hear about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, you didn't necessarily talk about this in the sermon, but like, do you or Dan, do you know of any of these potential sin cycles you can see us in the modern era falling into, whether we're on the rising or falling end of something like that? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just wondering your thoughts on that, because that's something I think that we wrestle with a lot.
Well, you and I have talked about this, Dan, just some of the social dynamics in the cultural moment we're in, mm-hmm. and the how social media has impacted that our conversation dynamics are not very healthy right now, right? We tend to polarize quickly. We tend to be reactive. We don't listen very well. And I that's the cycle that comes to my mind right now that we might be struggling with.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a bit of idolatry of self in a way. That's our cycle right now, because I know even personally, social media can kind of activate that. You know, I got my whole profile and I can mm-hmm. kind of put out there what's the best picture of me and mm-hmm. all these things maybe I'm doing that's great. And of course I leave out the stuff that's not. And, you know, it's kind of this controlled version or idolatry of self, but you know, it's always comes back to idolatry, right? In so many mm-hmm. ways. Just different idols, maybe at different seasons, but I wonder if that's one right now, this kind of idolatry of self mm-hmm. that, and maybe it's not just individual self, but me and my group sometimes, the people I identify with. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that too, just there's cycles, in, you know, just conflicts within the church and how we can get into our own way of thinking, a cycle of broken thinking that we aren't able to break out of that and mm-hmm. to hear a different perspective. I think you mm-hmm. preached it a couple of weeks ago when the mother of James and John came and said mm-hmm. they want them to sit at the right and the left, and it was right after Jesus had made another prediction of his death and crucifixion. And mm-hmm. it's just like, again, they didn't get it.
Right.
You know, this is a different kind of kingdom. The king's going to be killed, and you're coming to ask for positions of prestige and power.
Yeah. Yeah, that might speak into Austin's first question, too, that we were just talking about, like, why some of the dullness here? And maybe it's just you get in your head a certain way this is going to go, even if you mm-hmm. fully believe it, and they believe Jesus is the one, but, well, this is how it's going to go, and you get stuck at it, right? And maybe that's part of the struggle. Like you said, all of a sudden it's, well, it's going to be a little different. Like, well, no, it can't be, because this is the way I think it should be.
Right.
It's hard to come to grips with it.
We get a paradigm that we can't really see out of until something breaks it. And for the disciples, I think it was the actual crucifixion of Jesus mm. that broke their paradigm. Mm. And then that allowed them to look back and say, oh, this is different. And, of course, the Holy Spirit had to come and open the eyes, right, to really get them to see.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit being a critical element of that. Yeah, so I don't think that's something we can understate. And that actually kind of segues into my next question I've got here. You know, as we're trying to respond to Christ's death on the cross, you know, part of our moving forward with that is the Great Commission. You know, it's our Great Commission to go out and make disciples of all the nations. It's our commission to go and teach people and lead people into a loving relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. In so many different ways. But you said something that I kind of want to that I kind of wrestled with, in that you said forgiveness of sins is not for those who don't want it. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could just like explain that a little bit, and then like explain what do we do with that? What does that mean as far as like how we relate to people who don't? Because I've got a lot of friends who, for one whatever reason or other, they don't want this forgiveness of sin, whether mm-hmm. it's just an outright rejection of the mm-hmm. Christian perspective and worldview, or they don't care. And so what does that mean for interacting with that and with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two questions there, right? One is, what does that mean? I think that is how God approaches us from the human side. He offers us things, but he doesn't coerce us. He respects who we are, our will, our choice, and he won't even force salvation on us, in a sense. Obviously, we're not going to get into election in this, but from a human point of view, you can't force somebody to want a savior.
Right.
Right. I just heard a story the other day of a guy named Joseph Coveney, and he was a humanist in the 1800s. He was buried right down here in Buchanan, Michigan. There's a 12-foot monolisk right to his tomb. But he drove a white carriage with two horses, one named Jesus Christ and the other the Virgin Mary. And he was known to go through the streets swearing at them. And so he lived very much at blaspheming the Christian faith and denying that. And on his deathbed, somebody asked him, would you now repent and accept the salvation he offers? And in a whisper, he said, I will die as I lived. Hmm. So he didn't want the forgiveness. And we see that in lots of ways, like you referenced some friends too, right? It's a mystery of iniquity, as theologians used to say, why we would turn that down. But the Holy Spirit has to make us want it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the first part. The second part is, what do we do about that, right? I mean, you continue to witness to the salvation that's available, and I think you just say, if you ever get to a point where you are recognizing that you need this, then come talk to me.
Right.
And then pray like crazy. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit opens their eyes and turns them to recognize sin, right? As Jesus said, he will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so we can't convict of sin either. And unless we believe we're sinners and actually desperately in need of help, we're not going to go seeking a savior.
Right.
Right.
Well, thanks. That's really helpful. Dan, do you have anything you want to add to that? Or
no, it's well said. I think you said it well too on Sunday, that when it comes to the cross, I mean, this is what the cross is about. It's about sin and forgiveness, and it squares, comes right to us in that fashion. To see and be faced with the cross means to face my own sin, and this is why the cross is necessary. And that's not fun for anybody.
No.
And I think that's maybe even a way to talk, like, one, to admit, hey, it's not just for you, my friend, this is this is me too, and I understand, because day to day sometimes I want to deal with that and I'm really thankful, and other times I don't.
Yes.
And so I think just even some of that, just human being to human being kind of understanding, and not trying to put myself above someone, but you said it well, I thought, Tim. Just we all have to square with the cross. Jesus puts that before his disciples at the feast, but he puts that before each of us. It's the testimony of God's word. And how are we going to respond to that? And that's true for every single person in the church, as well as for anybody who's not confessing or,
right.
But it's a deep question, because that's really the crux of the matter.
Right. Thank you both. Thank you. Tim, do you want to real quick go into anything else that you could have brought and that you could have shared on Sunday, or would have liked to, but we kind of keep you to your little 25-minute window. So would you, anything you'd like to share that, would enrich our knowledge from this last service?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I usually preach everything I possibly have in my head. Honestly, I'm not like Dan.
I doubt that. You don't want to give us any Greek knowledge right now.
So, there was no Greek in this one.
Well, I appreciate you being thorough. That's very helpful.
Yeah. So. No, actually, on this one, I think they were just some nuggets, like, you know, Jesus' challenge too, about when he says one of you will betray me. That was, we could have, that almost could to get a whole new sermon, but that was just the nugget out there that I wanted to share. I really don't have a whole lot. Sorry.
No, that's great. That's great.
I thought that was really a good piece there, though, of just like, because we talk about that self-reflection in relation to celebration of communion, and I thought you really brought that home with that piece of Jesus is calling for that right there when he asks that makes that statement, one of you is going to betray me, and then they're all asking, was it I? Surely not I. You know, and just they're all thinking internally, I would never do that. And it faces us with our brokenness, but I think as we celebrate continually now, this is part of it.
Yeah.
We need to reflect and think about who we are, who Jesus is. So I thought that was a nice, for me personally, was just something I needed to think about too. So
I guess I'd say more about that is that it struck me too. You know, Jesus is not afraid to leave us uncomfortable, right? And that sometimes in the church we want it to go right to triumph, right to the celebration and the glory. And frankly, you know, Jesus left me for several days this week in that question without. Mm. And then he kind of came through personally, like on Friday in my devotions. It just kind of reassured me of my faith and salvation. But there was a long time where I was like, Lord, this is hard and it hurts, right? It's like it's very uncomfortable to have that probing and to really wrestle with, like, you know, the older we get, the more we realize that there's a capacity for self-deception is pretty big. Mm. And so I may think, even as a pastor, I know this stuff, but so did Judas. Mm-hmm. Right. And the fact that he spoke it to his disciples is powerful to me too. It's not to the crowds, but it's to us that there's this need for self-examination periodically and in a sense a repentant lifestyle all the time until we are in glory. Mm-hmm. So this is a convicting thing. It's not always a fun thing to think about. Like you said, Dan, like the cross confronts us and deep down we don't like it as human beings. Mm. We don't want to face that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus' questions are often really challenging as you read them in the gospel, and he just leaves them out there so often too, you know. Mm-hmm. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well, wow, you know, that's I think exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. He is calling us to faith. He is calling us to search our hearts too, and to really think ourselves on some things. So appreciated you bringing that out and causing us all, I think, to reflect a bit.
Make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, and we love, you know, we hate being uncomfortable.
Where
like,
you?
You know, whether that's in our theological personal faith walk, whether that's in what happens, you know, if like the power goes out and it's all of a sudden we have no slides or, you know, we like it comfortable the way we want it in an environment we can control. And we can't control the environment of Jesus if we're doing it right anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for coming and joining us today. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening, for wrestling with us. If you have any questions, any comments, thoughts, concerns, rebuttals, rebukes, what have you, feel free to send them straight to me at aslater@friendshipcrc.org. And we look forward to joining you next week. God bless you all.